Hello, friends, and thank you again for joining us for the Hope Canteen Podcast. My name is Steve London, pastor at St. Thomas Anglican Church here in Short Park, and as usual, I'm joined by Michael Rolfe, assistant priest, and Stephanie London, pastor in two different churches. So how are you all doing this week, Michael?
It's been a troubling week. Some people know, I'm a police chaplain, and it was awkward and very unfortunate that there was an incident fairly close to home where we had a policeman injured. Thankfully, he's okay. He's had surgery, and he'll be fine.
Right.
But it was a busy week as a result of that.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie?
Yeah, it's been a pretty good week. A couple of small joys. One is that we were able to get out on our bike. And another is that my daughter and I, our middle daughter, we've hopped on the sourdough bandwagon, and we're working on capturing wild yeast from our house and getting this culture going that will become a starter. And I think it's just about ready to try out, so I'm excited to see how that works.
So fresh bread.
Yeah.
For me, this last couple of weeks have been really interesting. I've had the opportunity to volunteer at St. Face. They do an amazing food ministry down there. I don't do much but make sandwiches, but it's been really nice to actually get out, and they do it in a very, very physical distancing, very sanitary kind of way, but a very important ministry and very tangible, and that's just been really nice for me to be able to go down there and to be a part of that. So this week we are talking about what I think is one of the most important passages in the Gospel of John. As usual, if you would like to read the passage before we get started, it is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. And you can pause the podcast here. I'm just going to say a few words about the reading. Again, this is not a story. I was trying to think of a word for this. This isn't a good word, but perhaps we could see it as sort of a spiritual pep talk. If we could call it that. It is right in the middle of the gospel. Jesus and the disciples are at the Last Supper, and Jesus has just washed their feet as a sign of agape love. But he has also just predicted that he would be betrayed by both Judas and Peter. And at this moment, Jesus gives encouragement. In fact, it is quite the encouraging talk. It is fully three whole chapters in John, followed by a whole other chapter of Jesus' great prayer for his disciples. What we are reading this week is just the beginning of this very long talk. But in these 14 verses, we actually have four of the most striking statements in the New Testament. And they're so striking and so profound, and smarter people than me are still trying to figure out everything they mean. The first statement is Jesus' famous promise that there are many rooms in my Father's house, he says. The second is Jesus' claim that I am the way, the truth, and the life. The third is the striking statement that whoever has seen Jesus has already seen the Father, the invisible God. And the fourth is that Jesus' disciples will do even greater works than Jesus. Wow. Well, I have to confess, I am very glad that Stephanie and Michael are both here to help us out this week to figure out what they mean.
Don't get your hopes up too high. I did want to just mention before we get started that, of course, this week is Mother's Day, and I know there's a lot of people struggling right now with the quarantine, with not being able to see their families, their children, their parents, grandparents, and on top of a day that often brings into relief all sorts of different issues and pain and joy and celebration mixed with complications and broken expectations and all those things. So I did just want to mention that if that's you, if you're struggling at all with Mother's Day, know that God holds you in the middle of this, and that's also around this table, even while we're talking about God the Father.
Mm-hmm. So this This passage, they say this is part of what's known as the farewell discourse. This is Jesus saying goodbye, and it's a time of high anxiety for the disciples. Peter, just before this passage, has asked Jesus where he's going. Jesus is obviously saying, "I'm going," and Peter wants to know where he's going. And of course, in the midst of this, we have once again Thomas showing his doubting side. We talked about doubting Thomas a few weeks ago. This is actually before that other incident, because this is of course when Jesus is still with them and prior to the Passion. And Thomas once again wants to know how can we know where you're going, how can we know what's going to happen? Because we don't know where you're going.
Right.
How can we get there?
And I think, Jesus is trying to answer this question. He says, "I go and prepare a place for you." And obviously the way he goes and prepares the place is his passion and crucifixion. He has prepared this opening into God's dwelling place, and that it becomes open. So I guess that's what the meaning to me of this, or part of the meaning, I will say, I can't exhaust it, but I am the way, is that Jesus says the way into the Father's house is through me. I'm going to watch me and follow me, and then that will be the way.
When I read this, Jesus says, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places." I'm old enough to remember that in the King James Version, it's many mansions, so it's a fabulous party place that they're going to go to. There's all that sort of hope. At least now the more modern translations make it a little bit less attractive in that sense.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. When I sometimes do funerals for people who have been in the Anglican Church for a long, long time, and they're very prayer book oriented, I will often, by request, read both the 23rd Psalm in the King James Version and this John 14. In the King James Version, just for that very reason, because they both do seem to capture something. I'm a very big fan of modern translations, but sometimes there is an importance to go back to some of those earlier images.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think what that does is, there's a very generous quality here when Jesus says that mansions or dwelling places, the idea that the Father's house is not a small, constricted place where only a few people can dwell, but there is there's a bigness of this imagery, and a huge invitation, and I find that very appealing personally.
I've always enjoyed this too, because to me, it as I think about what it will be like to be in God's house, I'm not going to have to be just the same as everybody else. If you don't like this room, you can live in that room.
Right. Also, an idea that there would be variety,
exactly.
Even in eternity. I love that.
Because this is a funeral reading, we tend to think of this as sort of the layout of heaven. But I'm wondering if maybe there's another layer to it. John has this theme of abiding with God that runs through it. And as we look down in this reading, Jesus talks about, "Do you not believe I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? And then the Father who dwells in me does his works." So it's a very present reality of dwelling with God, and not only us dwelling with God, but God dwelling here.
I think that's right on, Stephanie. It's interesting because that idea of dwelling places, the Greek word that's actually only found, I think, in three places in the New Testament, two of them are here. One is dwelling with God, and then that other place where it says that I and the Father will come and dwell with you. So I think that is very apropos, this idea of dwelling with each other. One of the things I love about the I am the way, the truth, and the life is this word, the way. It's the word hados, and it literally means a path. And I really get this image that the Christian following Jesus is on a path. I think this is why we often use the metaphor of we're on a journey as the Christian people coming together. Jesus is blazing the path for us, but it's still a path. We still have a ways to walk in this. And that it's a true path. I mean, this is the truth that will come to the Father. I try not to think of this, or often don't think of it in exclusive terms, kind of a war. I have this truth and you don't have the right truth. I like to think of it more in that there's this promise that God loves us and that this is true. This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't a fantasy. This isn't an empty hope. But this is actually something that you can build your life on. That this is a truth, that God really does exist and the Father loves you, that you are more valuable than you know. I find that very profound.
I think this is a really timely reading for that reason, because looking forward, our whole way of living has been thrown and no one really knows exactly how the immediate path is going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
So to know that Jesus is the way, that we don't have to have certainty in other areas, but that God's presence in Jesus and God's love for us is constant, and we can count on that going forward.
Yeah, one of the images I've always loved is going to that, whoever has seen me, Philip has seen the Father. So Philip is another doubter, so to speak, and Jesus has this line, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And someone described it to me once that I've really held on to. It said, it's not just the good news that Jesus reveals the Father and that Jesus is like the Father, but it's even the better news. The Father is like Jesus. And that so when we see Jesus, we can have some trust that this is who God is.
And Jesus has tried to point that out in the past too. I mean, the story of the prodigal son or the forgiving father. I mean, that's what Jesus has been trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And here again, we're getting that. If you want to know about God, just look at what I am, and you'll know this is God. This is how God works.
Right, right. And even if the world looks so different than this promise. So we're sitting in this time of pandemic, and you, Michael, just mentioned this officer who was killed, and our heart breaks when we hear of difficulties in our congregation and in other places. And sometimes it doesn't seem that the world is what God called it to be, but we do have this faith behind it. God is behind it, that God is in all things and bringing it to these many dwelling places, I guess. Redemption.
Yeah. We don't know about the earthly path that we're going to follow in the next little while, but at least we know we can follow the path of Jesus.
Right. So there are lots of things in this passage we could mine, but that's one of the great things about Scripture. You can just keep coming back. But obviously, we are reading this passage in May of 2020. We're in the middle of a pandemic. I was just wondering if any of you have any thoughts about what particularly the Scripture says to you in this time and might speak to others.
As I was reading this, it struck me, as you said, Steve, just how long this farewell discourse is, several chapters. And when you think of the span of time over Jesus's life and that it's taking up, and just how much airtime is given to this, it's quite significant. And tying that in with another reading that this is paired with in the lectionary, the story of Acts, or from Acts, of the stoning of Stephen, which obviously made a really deep impact on Saul, who later became Paul, who was a witness to that death. It struck me that one mark of Christians is maybe that we have something to say about dying well. That Jesus takes all this time to prepare his followers for what is to come and what's to come after that. And something in how Stephen died made an impact, a lasting impact on the early church. And I know there's a lot in our tradition that maybe we don't talk about that much, but a lot of resources on dying well. And it just made me think that how Christians die and how Christians handle death is maybe it says something about who God is and who God is for us, that we have something to give there.
Yes, we're in the middle of this Easter season. We proclaim that God or Christ has conquered death, and this ties in, right? In my Father's house, there are many places. I think part of what I would take from that, from that same part is that do not let your hearts be troubled. I'm also struck by the fact that this is the feast day of Julian of Norwich. A little bit earlier in this month, we celebrated the feast day of Catherine of Siena, both of whom were dealing with the time of the bubonic plague. And part of what I'm thinking is Christians have walked this path before. We have done this. We know we take the long road. And that's why I like what Jesus says, I am the way. This is not something that we've just been doing for a few years. We've been doing this for centuries. We've been doing it through plague, we've been doing it through war, we've been doing it through poverty, we've been doing it through also times of great building and spiritual flourishing and artistic achievement. And I think part of this, it gives us this long view that we are part of something much, much bigger than even just right now. Do not let your hearts be troubled.
That's where I plug in too. I'm conscious. It's also, yes, it's the day when we remember Julian of Norwich, but also it's the day in which particularly in the United Kingdom, they're celebrating the 75th anniversary of Victory in Europe Day,
mm-hmm.
and the end of the Second World War, a time when they had come through a tremendous, tremendous turmoil, and they had lost many, many lives as a result, and yet they were able to celebrate because at the end of it, there was the rainbow. There was the good news that it was all over, and they could pick up and carry on, and I guess that's what I'm thinking now. It's the same sort of what I'm looking for. Yes, don't let your hearts be troubled, said Jesus. It was a time of anxiety for the disciples, and it's a time of anxiety for us. But don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God.
Right. That is a great place to end. In fact, yes, this whole discourse is a way to encourage them in a difficult time.
Yeah, and I love that we can take the long view of whatever we're going through.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this podcast for this week. Again, this is a conversation. If you have any thoughts about what we have said or your own input or things that you love about this passage, please email me and let me know. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, thanks so much, and we'll see you then.
See you next week.
Bye for now.